We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show here on QAM. Streaming on the internet, WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone, the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. Yeah, I just mentioned the Marlins attendance, over 13,000 fans today for an afternoon game. Manny Chang set me straight, though. So there were, like, what, sections full of Dade County Public School students that went to the game today? That's a hell of a field trip, by the way. I mean, forget about the fact that the Marlins are bad. That's better than any field trip I went on as a kid, right? Elementary school, the rotation was always zoo, seaquarium. One time we took a field trip to Publix and, like, we went to the back area where the freezers were. I mean, that was a field trip. You never took that field trip as a kid, elementary school? Like, there was a field trip where you would actually go to Publix and they would take you behind the scenes. Like, you'd go to the back room at the butcher. You'd see how the bakery worked. They'd give you like a sugar cookie there, no charge. And you would see like the freezer area in the back. That was a field trip. So you're telling me the kids today get to go to a Major League Baseball game. My field trips were to the supermarket when I was a kid. That's a hell of a field trip.
I gave up on field trips in second grade.
Really? You didn't go on another field trip?
I was told that we were going to see snow, so we all got excited. Next thing we know, we hear this huge machine, which is actually a truck, and it's just spilling ice onto the grass.
That's even worse than my Publix field trip.
Oh, West Hialeah was so bad.
Man. I mean, maybe like the best elementary school field trip I went on, they took us to the planetarium once at the Science Museum in Miami. They took us to the planetarium. That might have been the best field trip I ever had. I didn't go to any baseball games.
No, well, I think the most enjoyable one for me was sixth grade. We went to the Everglades.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good field trip. I don't think I ever went on a field trip there. So, and speaking on that Marlins attendance, Derek Jeter, this from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Derek Jeter, as you can imagine, not happy about attendance at Marlins Park. Attendance has long been an issue for the Miami Marlins. Under new ownership and CEO Derek Jeter this season, it remains an issue. Entering Wednesday night's game, last night's game against the LA Dodgers, the Marlins ranked last in baseball by drawing 10,676 fans per home game at Marlins Park. The number would be the lowest across baseball since the Montreal Expos averaged just 9,369 fans in their final season before they moved to Washington. The figure is staggeringly low, in part because the team changed the way it reported attendance figures. Instead of counting all tickets distributed, including giveaways and heavily discounted ones, the Marlins are announcing tickets sold. So you know what, actually? Maybe that doesn't even include the field trip kids. Like, to be fair, with the way they report attendance now, were those field trip tickets, were they officially purchased by the schools, or those were freebies? If those were freebies, that probably doesn't even count towards the number. So you had 13,000 plus, and you had also the field trip kids. So we can't even say that's why the Marlins had so many fans. They had 13,000 plus the field trip kids. We're going to continue doing that, quote, we're going to continue doing that, said Jeter, but we're not happy with the number of people here. All of that goes with how we're doing on the field, too. We're going to constantly try to increase attendance here and constantly try to improve performance on the field. The change in procedure has resulted in four announced crowds smaller than 6,000 fans. On April 30th, the team drew just 5,415 people. The Marlins carried a 15-26 record into Wednesday night, the second worst mark in Major League Baseball. The team would be on pace for 103 losses, which would be the second worst season in franchise history, On Wednesday morning, the Marlins announced three newly hired executives who will be responsible for boosting fan support and attendance. I got news for you, though. Those executives can do whatever. They can bring back the sea creature races. They can do free beer Fridays. The only real way to increase attendance is to do it on the baseball side.
Or just have bobblehead day every day. I'll go every game.
Oh, my God. Manny Chang is obsessed with these bobbleheads.
By the way, I'll be at the first bobblehead game of the series. It is on July 1st, Sunday against the Mets. Superhero Boar bobblehead day.
Oh, so it's Justin Boar bobblehead. Okay.
With a Superman cape.
I don't know if that's cool, though. Like, wouldn't I rather just have a regular Justin Boar bobblehead than Justin Boar in a Halloween costume?
Well, like remember, that? Justin Boar, he had those shirts of him being Superman with the cape on.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I think the regular bobblehead is probably worth more than him wearing a costume.
God, I feel like you want to turn me down or something. And I was planning on inviting you, but forget about that.
When is this happening?
July 1st.
What day of the week is that?
Sunday.
I could actually go.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll bring baby Luca.
Let's do it.
I figure if I'm going to, because my kid is going to be what? Like, I can't do math. Like, 4 months old, 5 months old at that time. If I'm going to bring my kid to his first ever sporting event, might as well be a Marlins game. It's not loud in there. That's quieter than my home. If I take my kid, my 5 month old, to a Marlins game, like, that's more peaceful than my living room.
Is it sad, Donald, that I've never seen the upper levels ever opened?
I didn't even know they had an upper level.
Yeah, it's full of blue seats.
Right, exactly. Let's go to the phones. 560-22 is the text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Gordon, you're on QAM. What's up, Gordon?
You could tell Derek Jeter, he couldn't pay me to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, look, I where would you draw the line there? Like, if he gave you $1,000, would you go? $100, would you go?
Maybe $1,000, yeah. I consider it. I don't care about it at all.
I can tell.
And by the way, I just don't care about it. I mean, and if you have a conversation about baseball, you probably lose all interest in it. You're having a conversation. If you talk about baseball and you're a sports radio guy, all you're doing is talking to the guy behind the glass because no one cares.
Right.
About it.
No, and you'll notice that whenever I talk baseball, I'm not talking about like on base percentage. I'm talking about behind the scenes stuff that people actually care about.
And you know what's going to happen? Because you're going to talk about baseball right now, and the caller like me is going to immediately switch the subject on you.
Exactly.
Like right now,
as
so
you
here
should.
We go.
Go ahead.
First of all, on field trips, you remember Wholesome Bakery off the Palmetto? That's right. You remember that one?
I don't know if I do, actually. I never went there for a field trip. Did you go there as a kid?
Yeah, it was a field trip
Nice.
So I was looking at Kim Bocamper this morning on the Joe Rose Show. He's talking about the Dolphins, and this guy, I don't know what he's on, but, I mean, and I hate to be like a Debbie Downer, but that's me. All right, so... And listen, no one wants to see the Dolphins go 12-4 and get to the AFC Championship like I do.
Right.
I mean, I'm tired of all this nonsense. Every year it's this and that. So here's what's happening this year. We have a quarterback who's coming off of a knee injury who hasn't played in probably a year and a half.
Yeah, about 20 months. Yeah.
He's got 20 months, okay? And we've got no running back. We got rid of our star running back, our best player on the team, gone. We got rid of our best possession, our most reliable, I wouldn't say our best, our most reliable wide receiver, he's gone. We're now putting all of our eggs in a basket with a wide receiver we drafted number one a couple of years ago who can't be healthy, can't make the big play. That's the guy. Okay? We've got a bunch of rookies that we drafted. I'm listening to Kim Bocamper talk about this guy. What's the guy's name? Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, if he's going to start. I mean, how is this guy not supposed to start? He's going to start in the nickel package, but he's not going to be our day one, week one starting cornerback.
I think he will be a starting safety by week one. I think that.
How could he not be? We're 6-10.
Right.
You're terrible.
And here's the thing, Gordon, to what you're saying about the Dolphins, Minkah Fitzpatrick, I believe, is going to be probably one of the 10 best players on that team, period, next year.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
We've got to rely on these two linebackers from Ohio State who are supposed to start.
Okay.
One guy had a knee injury and was out all last year.
Did you get rid of him, Manny? You seemed angry at Gordon, and then he just disappeared. I think there's a conspiracy happening on the other side of it. I didn't do it. I think Manny dropped the call. I'm looking at you, and you had this like face of disgust because Gordon insulted one of the 35 teams that you root for, and then the call just disappeared. I think that was orchestrated on the part of Manny Chang. Texter writes in, Marlins Park is a great place to kick back and enjoy a good book. That's going to be like the quietest place to take my son. Tub Guy texts in, free beer Friday. They may have discovered uranium. I don't understand what that means. Oh, because
he's watching too much Avatar.
No, because it's such a great discovery. Like, it's a game changer. I gave that to them for free. Free beer Friday. I copied that from SeaWorld. SeaWorld does Free Beer Friday. The Marlins should do Free Beer Friday. I guarantee you something, man. I see the way people drink in this town, and I don't mean that as a knock. I love it. But if you do Free Beer Friday at Marlins Park, you're going to get 25,000 fans for that. No problem.
Don't the Marlins do $10 burgers and beers on Saturdays?
Is that even a deal? $10? I can get a burger and a beer. Like, if I get a burger from McDonald's and I buy a beer, I can get that for like $8. $7.
Well, if you want to go on the cheap side.
Free Beer Friday. We should make that happen. Who's on line two, Manny?
I think it's Jellyfish.
Jellyfish, you're on QAM. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Donald?
Doing great. By the way, a texter just wrote in. Thank you, Manny. Like, I think Manny dropped Gordon. I think that's what went down there. But Jellyfish, what's on your mind?
Okay, listen, just wanted to tell you, I took my son to the Marlins, and this is in his 03 when they were good. And, you know, he hated the whole thing, made my life miserable. The only time he got excited was when the popcorn vendor came by. You know, at that age, man, you might just want, not that missing the game is going to, you know, be a big loss now, but
right.
you might just have to be walking up and down and kind of like, yeah, keep them entertained.
Well, what do you think, what do you think is the youngest, like, you can take a kid to a game and it not affect your night, right? Because you're right, if I take my 5-month-old to a game, you know, at certain points, I'm going to be changing diapers, I'm going to have to pick him up and walk around, it's going to be a pain in the butt. What do you think is, like, the youngest a kid can go and I can just enjoy the game with him?
I guess it's different for kids. What I would probably do is take him to a Little League game because it's kids. So once he starts, you see that he starts to show some interest in the Little League game, which are, you know, they're a lot shorter anyways, and then he, you know, work him up towards taking him in there. Because otherwise it's going to be torture to be sitting on a seat watching something you don't understand or, you know, and it's different for some kids. I mean, if he's watching baseball with you at home and he's used to it and he's got some understanding, it'll probably be good. But
I got you.
You know, yeah. But listen, what I wanted to tell you was, you know, a lot of people talking about LeBron and how, you know, if he loses, he's going to leave. But, man, I don't know about that because, you know, he's always concerned about his legacy. If he does that, then people are going to see him as a hypocrite because he's talking about how he's going back to the land and it was all about going back there and his wife, make her happy and all that. Now, if he just leaves and goes to a team that's sad, everybody's going to say, hey, that's what LeBron, that's what this was about. He went back there because, you know, they had Kyrie and they had, Wiggins, right, and a couple of other good players. And that's what it was, just going to a stacked team, you know, chasing trophies.
That's a perspective I've thought about a lot, and I thank you for the call, Jellyfish. But here's the thing, like, every Cavaliers fan I've spoken to, they swear to me that if LeBron were to leave again, this time they're okay with it because he gave them that championship and the debt is paid. Like the Lannisters say, the debt is paid. Every Cavs fan I've spoken to basically has let him off the hook. Every Cavs fan that I've heard from has said, if LeBron were to leave, this time we understand. This is not 2010. He hadn't done anything for us championship-wise. He only got to the finals once and got swept. This is different because he's delivered that championship. Now LeBron can go wherever he wants to. So right there, unless they're all lying, Cleveland fans would understand if LeBron left. That's number one. And also, for people talking about the legacy and talking about how weak it would be for LeBron to go join Houston, right, to join a superpower, I don't think that rule applies anymore, right? Because I think Kevin Durant is doing all right. He's got a title. LeBron James, you know, went to a super team in Miami, won two championships out of it. This is not the 1990s, 1980s anymore where, you know, if Michael Jordan, when he was getting beaten by the Pistons early in his career, said, you know what, I'm going to Detroit. Yeah, that would have been a weak-ass move. But those are the types of moves people make all the time now in today's NBA. Kevin Durant couldn't beat Golden State. He joined Golden State. Still one of the most popular players in the league. He's got a championship now. LeBron James joined Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami, got two titles out of it. I don't think people are upset. Like, fans, by and large, they're not upset about that. It's not a legacy killer the way that it used to be. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs, Lord Stanley's Cup, with Bill Lindsay, the Blonde Bomber, when we come back here on WQAM. Had to play this for Bill Lindsay. So I didn't know earlier this afternoon when I asked Bill Lindsay to come on the show tonight. I had no idea it was his birthday. I felt kind of bad that I'm bringing a guy on as a guest on his birthday. But then I find out that Bill is working tonight. He's working with NHL Network, so I feel a little bit less bad. So Bill, are you going to do anything tonight to celebrate the birthday?
No, not so much.
Wow!
We've got to go on after the game. So I'm going to watch hockey. I guess watching hockey is my birthday present for the night. So we're up here in Secaucus watching hockey with the boys. That's kind of fun, but maybe order some pizza in.
And the Caps just scored to take a 1-0 lead, by the way. Yes. So Eastern Conference Finals are in progress. Bill, have the playoffs to this point with Lightning and Caps in the East, Jets, Golden Knights in the West, have things played out in a way you expected?
Washington, Tampa Bay, not so much. I don't think even Tampa Bay last game, even though they got the win, they relied on their power play. Washington, I thought, would have a little bit of a mental lapse after getting by Pittsburgh. They haven't gotten to the third round in the Ovechkin era and finally get to the conference finals, and I thought maybe there would be an emotional letdown. Won the first two games in Tampa Bay, really strong defensively, carried it over, and seemed to be in control of the series. Tampa's got to find a way to get something done 5-on-5, so that's a bit of a surprise. And then the other side, Vegas is for real. They're a team that can skate, can fly, and they're causing all kinds of problems for the Winnipeg Jets. So it's been fun and entertaining hockey, but the big surprise to me right now has been the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, and on that tip, Bill, if I'm looking at, like, to me, the top two storylines of the playoffs to this point, obviously number one are the Vegas Golden Knights and what they've done and are doing as an expansion club and the way they've captivated not only the Las Vegas community, it's the first pro sports team they've ever had, but the way they've captivated America. But, you know, right behind that, Bill, I look at Alex Ovechkin because there's been this narrative that has haunted him his entire career that he, even though he's a prolific scorer, he's not a winner, and he's got a chance, Bill, to finally prove the critics wrong on that.
He has, and he's had a tremendous playoffs. He's been one of the best players in the playoffs. If they get the Stanley Cup and win it all, it's a good chance that he wins the Hart Trophy for the most valuable player in the playoffs. He's been that good for the Capitals, and the best players for the Capitals, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, who missed a couple of games, the defenseman Carlson, the goaltender Braden Holtby, have had disappointing playoffs in past years, and that has not been the case. Their best players have risen to the occasion, and they've been led by Alexander Ovechkin. He's the best player in the NHL without a Stanley Cup. It's been that way for a long, long time. So for Ovechkin to get over that hump and maybe win a Stanley Cup final is definitely a huge storyline.
So as we sit right now, the Capitals, who do have an early, very early 1-0 lead here in Game 4 over the Lightning, they do have a 2-1 lead in the series. VGK has a 2-1 lead in the Western Conference. That series will continue with Game 4 tomorrow night. At this point, Bill, who do you expect to be in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I'd like to see Vegas get in there. Winnipeg's a tough team, loaded with talent, but they've had trouble with Vegas speed. And you look at Vegas, what they did in the first two rounds. They only played 10 games. Winnipeg had that tough series against Nashville, 7 games. They're a big team, and when you got big players that are forced to play heavy minutes and you get a speed team like Vegas who's been rested, that's a tough matchup. And I think Vegas, if they can compete, no one plays with the pace that Vegas does for 60 minutes. And Winnipeg's had a hard time keeping up, and I think that might be the case the rest of the way. Winnipeg has to find a way to get leads in this series and try and shorten Las Vegas' bench, because if they don't, they're going to be in all kinds of trouble. So I think Vegas has a chance to get through, and Washington has been the better team 5-on-5 against Tampa Bay. If they stay out of the penalty box, I think Washington is able to finish off the Lightning.
Braden Point just tied the game, by the way. So it's Lightning 1, Capitals 1. About 6 minutes have elapsed in the first period in D.C. We're joined here by the blonde bomber, Bill Lindsay, Florida Panthers color analyst and national analyst for NHL Network, who's nice enough to join us here on his birthday. He's pulling double duty tonight. He's working at NHL Network, and he's hopping on board with us. You know, Bill, the Vegas Golden Knights, now they just had the most successful expansion season in NHL history, but for 25 years, that belonged to the Florida Panthers. What you were on that team, what you guys did back in 1993 had been the most successful expansion season up until this year. So be honest, does that hurt a little bit to see Vegas taking some of that shine away?
It was nice to have, but records and everything's made to be broken. It was a nice run. Our story was incredible. Something that those guys that went through it with me. So that's a something that I'll have forever, and this Vegas team will have that forever. I'm not it's nothing that's disheartening. I pull for this Vegas team. I'm excited for what they're doing in their first year. I'm excited for what we did in the first 3, 4, 5 years down there in South Florida, introducing Florida to hockey. So the same thing's happening into Vegas, and I think the more we can expand hockey throughout the United States and bring it to everyone's attention, I think it's the better. So good on the Vegas Golden Knights.
You know, Bill, I know that a lot of people, if their team is not in the playoffs, you kind of will find a team to latch on to and root for throughout the postseason. I think it seems to me like a lot of Panthers fans are pulling for the Golden Knights here, you know, given the fact that Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, Gerard Gallant, who is pretty popular down here, is coaching that club. Do you find that a lot of Panther fans have sort of latched onto this team for the playoff run?
I think they have, and I think a lot of people throughout the United States have latched onto this team. It's one of the greatest sports stories, not only NHL stories, but one of the greatest sports stories. If they win the Stanley Cup, it might ever be written. It's that phenomenal. It's something that's unheard of. So I think your casual fan, anyone that's kind of just joining the NHL watching the playoffs, I think the majority of them are rooting for this Vegas team, and I think the Panther fans are no different. They got some ties there. Anytime you have ties to players that's been with your organization, whether it's a coach or whatever, that you'll root for those players and hope them the best. When players change scenery, I think you still have that bond with players, and you always want them to do well.
What would you like to see, Bill, from this Florida Panthers team this coming season to kind of get into this conversation, right? We're looking at a team in our own state like Tampa Bay, who's won Stanley Cups before, and they're back now in the Eastern Conference Finals. You look at the Jets and the Golden Knights. What do the Panthers need to reach that rarefied air?
Just play like they did the last 40 games. No, but their core is going to continue to get better. The second half last year was outstanding. They came a long way as a group. Barkov, Huberto, Trocheck, Ekblad. These people are continuing to get better. I think that will be the case. They'll just continue to be the leaders of this franchise and build around it. You got Borgstrom coming. You got maybe Tippett that's going to be in the lineup. You got this Heppel Niemi from Swift Current who's got a lot of guys that are going to come in, fill around this roster, build around it. It's going to be a quality hockey team. You might need one or two more defensemen to shore it up, but they're close. You saw it in the second half. They were one of the best teams going down the stretch, and I expect more of that next year, and I expect it for 82 games.
Well, Bill, enjoy the rest of Game 4 tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals. Capitals and Lightning are even at 1. About 8 minutes have gone by there, and happy birthday to you, sir. Will you be able to celebrate at any point this week or this weekend?
Well, I got 3 shows the next 3 nights, so when I get back with my wife, we're going to that will be it. That's when you get 47 my age,
wow,
become less celebratory.
Listen, 47 and you've kept all of those blonde locks. You've kept all the hair. 47 years, man. I'm impressed with that, I got to tell you.
How's the baby?
Very good, man. He's 11 good. Weeks old this past Tuesday. He still doesn't have that much hair. I'm a little bit worried about him, but he's adorable.
Yeah, he is. I bet you're having fun. So it's good times all around. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, he's getting big, man. I appreciate the time here from Bill Lindsay, the blonde bomber. You can follow him on Twitter at LindsayBHockey and check him out on NHL Network. Do you have an idea what time your hits are going to be tonight or just all throughout the evening after the game?
Yeah, we'll be right on after the game for an hour, post-game coverage. So whenever the game's in, we're up for an hour. So
love it. Bill Lindsay, thank you so much, man. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right, thanks, man.
And a happy birthday there to Bill Lindsay. All right, I feel a little less guilty now, right? Because I brought it up earlier that this afternoon, I texted Bill Lindsay, good friend of ours, if he could come on the air, talk some hockey with us. And he, because he's such a nice guy, graciously said yes. Hours later, I discovered it's Bill Lindsay's birthday. I'm a good enough person to feel guilty, but not a good enough person to kind of give him an out, right? Because I could have texted him and said, maybe we can do another night. But I stayed firm because he agreed to come on. But then I found out he's working, so I don't feel that bad. He's at NHL Network in Secaucus, New Jersey. 56022 is how you get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. The Alex Dono Show continues here on WQAM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more.
Visit edmoresawgrass.com.
Because we've done this before, so you come on in. Here last week, we talked about those quotes from David Fizdale, who's now the New York Knicks head coach. Fizdale, a lot of the stuff that he allegedly got into it with Marc Gasol, who he had not a good relationship with in Memphis, and that's probably why he lost his job there. That he had once, because you know, he got mad at Marc Gasol because Fizdale like went around the locker room and asked guys, you know, about their desire to, you think we are capable, are we good enough to win a championship? And everybody was saying, yes, of course we are, coach, of course we are. Marc Gasol said no, because I think we need a better leader, talking about his head coach. So right there, they didn't have the best relationship. And then apparently Fizdale had sent to Marc Gasol, you know, being on the staff, Fizdale had been on the staff in Miami when, you know, winning a couple titles with LeBron. I know what it means to win real championships, not those European titles. Right? But if you ask Luka Doncic, maybe the grass is greener in Europe. Maybe in Doncic's eyes, European titles are worth something. This surprised me today. Apparently, Luka Doncic, who's going to be or would be a top three draft pick in the NBA, is not committed to leaving Europe. EuroLeague star Luka Doncic, this story from CBSSports.com. A 19-year-old phenom who signed a professional contract with Real Madrid when he was 13. Real Madrid gets everybody, man. Professional basketball contract with Real Madrid he signed when he was 13. Could go as high as number one overall in the upcoming NBA draft. His combination of size at 6'6", agility, and projectable upside make him a potential franchise cornerstone for a team fortunate enough to draft him. However, the rising star hasn't committed to leaving Europe for the NBA's greener pastures. Yet, on Thursday, today, Doncic told reporters he's still undecided about whether he'll stay in the EuroLeague or join whichever NBA franchise will soon draft him in the top of the lottery in June. I mean, Ricky Rubio did the same thing. So this means somebody will still draft him, right? Somebody will still draft him, and then they have to beg him to come to the NBA. I'm not sure if these are my last two games in EuroLeague, Doncic said via EuroHoops.net. Has any American ever been to that website, EuroHoops.net? We have yet to make this decision, perhaps after the season. If you're the Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings, Atlanta Hawks, or Memphis Grizzlies, the teams drafting in the top four, Doncic's comments are probably startling on the surface. But context into Doncic's current situation suggests that any thoughts about him staying in the EuroLeague are probably no more than a smokescreen. Doncic is in the midst of making a run for a EuroLeague title. So much like top college prospects being asked about their plans for the NBA during the heat of March Madness, the timing for Doncic to reveal his intentions beyond this season isn't right. That makes a lot of sense to me. If he were to announce he's set on leaving for the NBA, it could give off a strong vibe to his teammates that he's quit on the team and looking toward the next chapter of his life. Top EuroLeague prospects have been drafted high before and intentionally delayed their departure, such as Ricky Rubio, who was drafted fifth overall in 2009 but didn't come to the States until 2011. But Doncic is likely a different case for two reasons. Number one, he's almost certainly going to be drafted higher. And two, Rubio is Spanish and he was playing near his hometown. It seems we won't know until the end of EuroLeague season whether or not Doncic's comments are sincere or just him navigating the media during the wrap-up of the EuroLeague season. But his comments could be enough to potentially give pause to teams considering drafting him at the top of this year's lottery. That argument made sense to me, though, and it was Kyle Boone of CBS Sports who published the story today. You're probably not going to say, I can't wait to come to the NBA when your playoffs are still in progress in the EuroLeague, right? Because how bad would that come off? Even if everybody knows this kid's going to the NBA, you've got a locker room full of teammates pressing towards a EuroLeague title. If you come out and talk about how excited you are to leave Europe and go to the NBA, your teammates are going to feel like you're a bad guy, right? It's the same reason why, like, you know, in European soccer right now, you've got a ton of players who have already signed their contracts to leave their team in the summer transfer window, yet they're not talking publicly about the next team they're going to play for because the seasons are still in progress. Right? The same reason why Luka Doncic, who, yeah, probably a 99% chance he is going to go and play for whatever team drafts him in June, is not going to be talking about it right now publicly because, yeah, he's got a locker room full of teammates he's about to go out to battle with, right? So Real Madrid has a basketball team. Does Barcelona have a bad? Do they have El Clasico in basketball, Manny? What, they just don't call it that, but they do have a. Do they have an FC Barcelona team?
Spain has a basketball league. Yes.
Well, right, but there's an actual Real Madrid basketball team, which Doncic plays for.
It's like La Liga in soccer.
Really?
Real Madrid.
So they've got like the same
basketball. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that because they don't have that. Like, they have a league in Italy, but it's different teams. Like, they don't have like Juventus basketball.
You know who came from Madrid? Who was in Chicago and then he was in New Orleans?
Who?
Mirotic.
Oh, so he played for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that they had.
Do you know who came from Barcelona?
Who?
Ricky Rubio.
Yes. Okay. See, I knew he played in Spain. But I did not realize he played for Barca. That's interesting to me. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You know, a couple segments ago, we were talking about how, I don't think in today's NBA, if LeBron joined another super team, I don't think he would get killed for it by the fans, right? Like, if LeBron went to Houston to play with Chris Paul and to play with Harden, I don't think he would get killed the way, you know, the way that Michael Jordan would have gotten killed the early years when he couldn't beat Detroit. If he had just joined Detroit, he would have gotten killed for that. I think times have changed in the NBA. I mean, you've already seen Kevin Durant do what he did. And yeah, he got killed at first, but he silenced most of those critics by winning a championship and being the finals MVP last year. LeBron James initially got killed going to Miami, silenced most of those critics when he won two rings. I think he could pull the same thing off again. I think if LeBron went to Houston, I don't think he'd get killed for it nearly as much as people think he would. And a texter wrote in, yeah, the whole goal is the chase for the championship. Blind-ass fans, he writes. And I also mentioned that, for what it's worth, every Cleveland Cavaliers fan I've heard from or talked to for the last couple of years since LeBron won a ring there in Cleveland, every Cavaliers fan I've spoken to or heard from has said, at this point, if LeBron leaves, it's okay with me because he got us that championship. He's free to do whatever he wants to do, right? That I'm not going to be mad at him the way that I was in 2010 because he hadn't delivered a ring to go to Miami. I was upset about that. This time, I can let LeBron go because the debt is paid. And a texter writes in, yeah, right, when reality hits, Cavs fans will burn his jerseys again. You think that's how that goes there? Because I have theorized that before, right? Because a lot of Miami Heat fans, after LeBron won two rings here, said, you know what, if he leaves, at least we have the memories. At least we have the championships. Then LeBron left, and we're all angry. Most of us are angry. That Team Petty was formed out of that anger. It's easy for Cavaliers fans to say, if he leaves, I'm okay with it because he got us that ring. But then the reality sets in of LeBron going to play in Houston or going to play in Philadelphia or going to play in Los Angeles. When that reality sets in, the actual feeling of it is different than what you expected, and maybe you would have the jerseys burning again.
I think the old Cavs fans have to realize that LeBron has taken their team to three straight NBA finals, and you won one of them. What more do you want as a town? Sorry that the Indians couldn't win. That's not his fault.
Well, I mean, he took Miami to four straight NBA finals and won two championships, and that wasn't enough for me because he promised.
But I think for us it's the way that he left. The argument with Pat not answering him back, ignoring the whole thing. Even Wade that went sucked. To Vegas and that didn't work.
I do hate the fact that, so when Pat Riley showed up for that meeting in Vegas, LeBron was playing FIFA on the PlayStation. And the rumor that I heard was, like, he wasn't even playing with a good team. Like, he was playing at Sweden. Like, man, like, you dissed Pat Riley to play with Sweden. Although Sweden did eliminate Italy from from World Cup contention. So that was kind of painful just to drive the knife into my back. Cavs fans will get on their knees and cry if LeBron leaves. I like this one. Manny just Googled the top five Spanish basketball teams. He's now a fan of all of them. As far as LeBron's next destination, I caught Brian Windhorst on PTI yesterday. And, you know, Brian Windhorst, say what you want to about the guy, because he can sometimes, I don't know, like he enjoys being a bad guy sometimes. I think he played that role pretty well when he was here covering LeBron in Miami. Say what you want to about Brian Windhorst. There's no media member closer to and better connected to LeBron James than Brian Windhorst of ESPN. He has been a LeBron James beat writer since LeBron James was in high school. He followed LeBron from St. Mary's, was that his high school, in Akron, to the Cavaliers, to the Miami Heat, back to the Cavaliers. Brian Windhorst has covered LeBron James every step of the way. Nobody is closer to LeBron and his entourage than Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst had some of this to say to PTI yesterday. I just cannot see him going to the Western Conference. I can't see it. My gut says he still wants to compete for championships, so he's got to stay in the East. I'm not sure if Philadelphia is a great fit because LeBron James needs guys who can shoot. What I suspect will happen is a team will make moves to go after LeBron. So if there's no perfect fit, teams will have to make moves to make it a better fit for LeBron. Maybe that team is Philadelphia, but maybe it's Cleveland. I don't see a perfect fit out there. And Windhorst basically said that the only West Coast team he could even see LeBron consider would be Los Angeles, just because that would be more about the market and more about the Lakers franchise than it would be about competing for rings. That if LeBron is all about the rings, Windhorst says, I see him staying East, and that could very well be Cleveland. Or maybe he just decides he wants to play in Los Angeles, and that kind of becomes the trump card. 56022 is Hey, Get At Us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
Question on that little bit that you just read about Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned he wants to win championships.
Mm-hmm.
So he's satisfying with Eastern Conference titles then?
Well, no, but I think what he's saying is...
Because he said to compete. Well, in the West, he's going to be competing even harder.
Right, but he's saying that your best chance to win titles is still in the East because you're guaranteed to get to the NBA Finals every year. I think that's what he's saying there. That if you go West, like if you join Chris Paul and James Harden in Houston, you still got to get past a super team in the Warriors just to get to the Finals. Because I think the thinking there is, well, to me, if LeBron James goes to Houston, that to me on paper is the best team in the NBA. But I think what Windhorst is saying there is, if LeBron James plays in the Eastern Conference, you've got an easier road to get to the NBA Finals. And then the hope would be, by the time you get to the Finals and you face Golden State or Houston, those teams are so beaten up having come out of the West that kind of gives you an edge being the fresher team in the NBA Finals. Texter writes in, I disagree with Team Petty starting because of how he left. Big difference. Most fans were disappointed he left. But the real anger was the disrespect towards, so he's saying that is the reason that Team Petty exists. It was the disrespect towards Riley and Mickey. That was a big part of it for me. But it's still hard for me, it was hard for me to fathom LeBron James walking away from a team that had just made four straight NBA Finals and walking away from Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. We didn't know that Bosh was going to come down with a bad case of deep vein thrombosis after that. We had no idea. Just walking away from that, it hurt me. It really did. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will have a couple of more clickbait stories coming up. We'll talk some NBA conference finals. I enjoyed the game last night, and Houston Golden State is going to continue to be an enjoyable series for me. And maybe Houston winning last night says it's going to be longer than a 5-game series, which is what I expected. But I would still say that the Rockets' victory last night was more about what Golden State didn't do than what Houston did. I thought that was a poor effort from Golden State. I think that they are better than what they showed last night in a game where, in game one, Golden State committed 9 turnovers the entire game. They had 7 turnovers at the end of the first quarter the other night. There was no effort rebounding-wise. They got out-rebounded 47-36. That was a lot of effort stuff for me with Golden State. I didn't think that was there. Houston obviously had a tremendous night when you had P.J. Tucker going off for 22. You had Eric Gordon going off for 27 points in that game. So you had people step up and help James Harden, who led the way with 27 points. But I don't know if they're going to have that type of night again where they're shooting 51.1% in a game and the way that they shot from beyond the arc. Now, that's the one thing Houston is capable of doing. They're capable of lighting it up from three. But I don't think you're going to have another game like that, especially now that you're going to Oracle Arena for the next two. You're going to see much more effort from Golden State. I thought that last night's blowout for Houston was more about the lack of effort from the Warriors than it was about the effort from the Rockets.
I thought, Alex, last night's game probably gave you a preview of what this Houston Rockets team, you know, is this year. And, you know, if they're going to win this series, they're going to have to play Houston Rockets basketball, which is what we saw last night.
Yep.
But I do agree with you 100%. That Warriors effort was not Golden State-like, and you know for sure that they're going to bring it for games three and four. So for Houston to have any chance, they have to do what they've been doing all year, making threes outside the arc. And guess what? They're going to have to out-hustle Golden State, which I think they cannot do on consecutive games. Might not even be able to do that on consecutive road games. And, you know, and P.J. Tucker has to have another huge series, not missing shots wide open, and Trevor Ariza as well.
I will say that watching Chris Paul work last night, what was a thrill, man. He broke Steph Curry's ankles. You see that behind-the-back dribble? Like, Steph fell on his ass. If that had been a role player, like if that had been a guy who doesn't already command the respect that Steph Curry commands as a champion and a league MVP, like he would be the butt of a lot more Twitter memes today than Steph Curry. But Steph Curry like was eating dirt after Chris Paul broke his ankles last night. That was a lot of fun, man. CP3 was in form yesterday. 56022 is how you get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Incredibly dumb on Twitter by the Toronto Raptors. You see this for Toronto? Like, there are certain ways to handle this situation, but opening yourself up to be the butt of every joke is not the way to do that. So, you know, Toronto, they fired their head coach, Dwayne Casey, days before he was named coach of the year in the NBA. I know that that's ironic. I still understand why they did it because, okay, yeah, you won 59 games in the regular season. You had a great regular season. But 2 years in a row, you've gotten swept in a playoff series by the Cavs. I can understand why you feel like you need to shake it up if you're Toronto. But the guy that you fired wins coach of the year. How do you handle that situation? I think you just stay quiet, right? Because it's already a weird look to fire the guy who gets named coach of the year. I mean, it happened down here. Jeffrey Loria fired Joe Girardi before he was manager of the year in the National League. I think the way you handle that is you kind of just stay quiet and hope that people don't put the spotlight on you. Instead, the official Toronto Raptors Twitter account, less than a week after firing the guy, they tweet out, "Congrats, coach." And they're getting flamed for it on social media. I don't know, man. Like it almost sounds like you're kicking the dead horse while it's down. Like you're throwing salt in the wound. Like, yeah, we fired you. But by the way, congratulations on coach of the year. That's a tough one for me. 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show with you till 10 o'clock tonight here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.